How have you not seen this? And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today I'm joined by three very special guests, Lauren Venkas.
Hello.
Noelia Bowersox, making her debut on the show.
Hi.
And Tom Plute.
I'm back.
And we just watched Snowpiercer. A movie came out this year, although not the newest movie we have done. This is a really great movie based on a comic book that I have not read yet. French comic, if I remember right, done by, I'm already forgetting the director's name, Bong Joon-ho, yes, who also did The Host, which is a very highly acclaimed horror film featuring Chris Evans, Captain America, as the rest of the world knows him, John Hurt, Ed Harris, Jamie Bell, Tilda Swinton, really great cast, really solid film, honestly, probably my favorite film of the year, and it's probably going to stay that. I don't see anything dethroning this movie for my number one spot, especially considering that my number two spot is also a Chris Evans movie, Captain America the Winter Soldier. So in a first for me, anything in my top five having the same lead. And really, I just like in my head, I like to pretend that he was kind of just Captain America.
He pretty much was just Captain America. I like it if all your top movies are just all Chris Evans movies.
Look, man, here's the thing. I like Chris Evans a lot. I've been on the Chris Evans train since Not Another Teen Movie, and guess what? I fucking love that movie, too. Chris Evans is goddamn delightful. And he's wonderful in Scott Pilgrim, too. Probably my favorite character in Scott Pilgrim.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, this is a really great movie, very highly critically acclaimed, kind of a sleeper movie. It snuck in there. I was fortunate enough to find out about it over the summer because we have a really cool theater that shows a lot of the independent stuff. And a friend had mentioned to me, I went into this movie blind, having no clue what I was getting into, and walked out. I was like, this is the best thing I saw all year.
Right? Yeah.
So, Lauren, how have you not seen this?
Well, I don't have a TV anymore, and so I watch, like, Hulu and stuff, and also movies are fucking expensive. Mm-hmm. So I think in the whole year, I've seen 3 movies in the theater.
Oh, what were they? What were they?
I went with my coworkers for The Fault in Our Stars.
Okay, of course.
I went on a
gotta
date.
Gotta get a cry on.
Yeah, I went. It was just something in my eye.
Yes, feelings.
I don't know what you're talking about. I went on a date to As Far
As Above, So Below.
Yeah.
That one, yeah.
Which I got made fun of for, like, I got a little scared for a minute.
That's what horror movies are supposed to be for.
Well, I mean, it wasn't really that much, like, it was funny, like, you shouldn't take that movie too seriously.
Oh, I don't.
Still very good, I thought.
Okay.
Maybe it was last year. Maybe I've only seen 2 in the theater.
Oh,
this
man,
year.
That's insane. You were like the complete opposite of me as far as movies go.
Well, like, they're really expensive, and I usually tend to go to concerts more.
No, that's true. Yeah, you're the opposite of me in that respect. I already bought the album. Those bands have my support.
Or I just stay at home with my cat. We watch Frasier reruns. So.
Accurate. She is not exaggerating. All right, Noelia, how have you not seen this?
I think I haven't really. Well, since I had my daughter, I really don't hear about. I mean, I just don't hear about things
okay.
as much as I used to. So that's kind of my excuse. But Tom had it on Netflix, and it came in the mail, and I opened it, and I was like, oh, sounds cool. All
right.
So, yeah.
Tom, how have you not seen this? I know you're the
cool.
second biggest Chris Evans fan in the room.
I heard about it. I heard it was really good. I don't remember from where. And, yeah, we've had it in our house on Netflix because I like to get DVDs in the mail and then never watch them and pay for the whole price. Yeah. And
you may be the only person like that I know personally. Like, I know obviously people are still doing it because they haven't discontinued that service.
Sure.
You're the only people I think I know personally.
I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. You are the only person I know who is not a dad and has an excuse that does the DVD service.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it makes sense, though, because they have a lot more stuff available
like
that they don't have
on
streaming service.
Yeah, you can watch
service,
when new movies come out, like, I can just get the DVD right away and not wait for it to go on to the...
Yeah.
But then I never watch them.
Sure. Yeah.
I never get around to watching them. I just pay the extra price and just keep DVDs in my house for months.
I did, back before Blockbuster went the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah.
They tried to do a similar competing DVD rental service along with Netflix.
Ooh.
And they gave a month-long trial for that. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll try this. I think I got 4 movies from them. 2 of the DVDs, I couldn't even watch the entire movie. I ended up just having to rent them. Well, I didn't even rent them. I just downloaded them later.
Sure.
Because the DVDs are so fucking scratched.
And
that's a huge... Like, that's always been my huge issue with taking the plunge on a service like that. Because I have a great respect for movies. I take care of my fucking DVDs.
Right.
I put them back. And then most people, like... use them as beer coasters or, or like go skeet shooting with them or whatever, and then like next thing you know I'm trying to watch Splice or the Descent Part 2 and I get halfway through the movie and I'm bored, and then it cannot read the disc anymore.
Netflix used to be like that. I used to have a lot of problems with like disc not being able to be read. I've never finished Cop Out. I got halfway through it. The DVD was too scratched for me to finish the movie.
Oh, that sounds like a real Cop Out.
Did you order like 3 more times though?
I reordered it 3 times and none of them worked. Anymore these days, I don't get any bad DVDs from
that. As somebody who saw the movie Cop Out in the theaters, I think, did you get up to the part where you at least got to see Sean William Scott?
Whoa. I've never heard of this movie.
Oh,
you haven't?
No. When did
the rest of this podcast is just us talking about
Cop
Out.
This is like 2010, 2011, I want to say.
Yeah, probably.
It was a couple years ago. It was a movie that Kevin Smith directed, didn't write though, that had Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan as cops. It's not a good movie.
It's not.
Tracy Morgan and Sean William Scott are the best parts of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Kevin Smith, like, very publicly had a thing about it afterwards,
Bruce
about how
Willis,
terrible it was working with Bruce Willis. Like, don't work with your heroes and everything.
I do remember that, yeah.
So, yeah, but it's not a very good movie.
No. I didn't think it was going to get much better, the parts I saw
working. No, Sean William Scott is really the highlight of that film.
Oh, God.
I love Sean William Scott. I don't offend him. You clearly have not seen The Rundown.
I have not.
I haven't seen
it
either.
Oh, The Rundown is so good. All right,
let's fire it.
Double feature, you guys. Snowpiercer and The Rundown. Speaking of Snowpiercer, that's the movie we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Where
can you find it?
Thank you for reminding me. I bought it on DVD.
Yeah. You can get it in the mail from Netflix.
Look at your Danny Warbucks. Buying it on DVD.
It actually, it will be available on Netflix streaming later this month. I don't remember the release date off the top of my head, but
sure.
I was looking at the November releases, so it will be available on Netflix streaming soon in the next couple of weeks, which is really awesome.
Where do you even find the release date?
Usually, anytime somebody posts something about Netflix, like in related articles, there'll be like some, like it showed up like what they were getting rid of, and then they show what they're putting up. And I remember seeing Snowpiercer on that list for November.
Just on Netflix?
No, it was just some article. But yeah, if you Google like Netflix, like upcoming releases,
every month they release
what
they're taking off and what they're putting up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's easy to find that stuff. But yeah, so it'll be available to find soon. It's also, you can rent it on like Amazon or on Xbox, everything like that. So it's very attainable.
Yeah.
It's very worth attaining. As I mentioned, I love this movie. This is probably going to be my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
And it's largely, most of my favorite movies revolve around class war. Or a commentary on that.
Yeah.
And that's very much this movie. Pretty much any movie where the underlying theme is fuck rich people,
yeah.
I am totally on board for it. Because, seriously, fuck rich people.
Mm-hmm. Right?
One of the first things that I talk about, seriously, Chris Evans is fucking amazing in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, and like I said, I've been a huge Chris Evans fan for a long time. And even outside of, like, the Marvel stuff, in the movie Sunshine, which Danny Boyle, who did 28 Days Later and Trainspotting, directed, great sci-fi movie, great fucking performances from everyone in that cast, Chris Evans especially, because I think that was the first chance anybody got to really see a dramatic turn from Chris Evans, because that was, like, 2006, 2007. And then again in this, like, he's a very capable actor.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people equate it to, like, remembering him in Not Another Teen Movie, although he was fucking hilarious in that, which is the testament to his abilities, and then, like, the Marvel stuff.
Sure.
But he is. He's a great dramatic actor, and I love... Obviously, I think he's a perfect fit for Captain America, but I love seeing him in stuff like this, too, because he really is just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the cast, I talked about this when we were watching. I think this is probably my favorite Tilda Swinton role.
She's so good.
I didn't even recognize
her. I spent half of the movie trying to figure out, like, if it was her or somebody else. Because
it
looks like somebody doing a Tilda Swinton impression almost. Because it's such a departure from her characters.
Sure.
But she's really great in this. And then, of course, I don't remember if it's John or William Hurt.
It's John.
Is John Hurt? Okay, yeah, John Hurt. From Alien and V for Vendetta and
Ollivander.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And he was the doctor. He was the old doctor.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
John Hurt?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So
that's insane. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. A great fucking performance. Oh, and then Ed Harris for the 10 minutes at the end.
I didn't expect it to be Ed Harris.
I just kept building up in my mind who Wilfred was gonna be.
Right, I thought it was gonna be something goofy or something weird or like a computer or something like that.
Yeah,
be like nobody's actually running the train.
Right, it's just Ed Harris.
It's the bad guy from The Rock. And then, of course, Song Kang-ho as the security expert with his daughter who's getting pocketing Cronol throughout the entire thing. I feel like I've been talking so much. Let me let you guys jump in here with something.
So even though I don't really go to movies that much in the theater, because fuck the rich man.
I agree.
So
that's why I always go to matinees and I always go to the cheaper theaters.
Right. But I knew nothing about this movie going into it, and I realized partway into it, it probably would have been way more effective for me if I had seen it in the theaters.
It is very impressive in the theaters.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Versus, here.
Look, I'm sorry that my TV isn't the size of a theater screen, Lauren.
We live in the same house, okay? Hey, at least at home it can be my cat that I hear eating and not a bunch of awful people and crying children.
That's true. Although if somebody had crying children in this movie, they should not have had them there.
Children would have every reason to cry during this movie.
Yeah.
That's true.
What's this? They kill children?
Oh, they hide in small compartments?
Yeah.
So I was very much confused, since I didn't really have any backstory going into it. I was very much confused, at least for, like, the first third of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was still obviously good. But, I got hooked probably about a third, like, two-thirds of the way in.
Okay, what part? What part specifically? Where were you finally on board?
When I just made myself accept, like, you're not watching this in a theater.
It took you an hour and a half.
Seriously, girl. Wait a minute.
This is not a theater at all.
This isn't an IMAX screen. What am I doing here?
No, I was just like, you just gotta go with this and accept it and then try to get on board. So, I mean, like, it didn't capture me from the beginning, but I mean, by the end, I was very interested to know who Wilfred was because all the built up suspense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think also the, I probably got hooked at the scene where they were going to go through the tunnel.
Yeah.
Oh, that fight scene.
Yeah,
that fight scene is
exactly
so fucking good.
Yeah, that's
what
really,
got me too,
yeah.
I think, that moment.
It's a matter of public record that I am an unapologetic fan of action movies. Especially well done fight scenes. Sure. And that fucking fight, the axe fight in that train car is one of my favorite fight scenes in a movie ever. Because it goes on for like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, it is really long.
It was really long.
And the tone of that fight, it's kind of like the House of Blue Leaves sequence in Kill Bill.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
And where the tone changes like three or four times.
Sure.
And then like by the time it's over, you're like, I just spent 20 minutes watching like an axe fight.
People just going at each other.
But it's so good. It's so well done. And then like the other fight sequences too. Like when they all fight the creepy blonde henchman dude, in the bathhouse.
Sure.
Yeah.
That movie just has so many, it just changes moods. So, like, one minute it's, like, super violent, and the next you're, like, laughing, and, like...
Yeah, well, it cuts from the axe fight to the classroom.
Yeah, to a children's classroom.
Which is what I love, too, is, like, and that's, like, if you were to tune in to this movie, like, in different sections... Like, at least within a couple of seconds, you wouldn't think you were watching the same movie.
Right.
Because, like, when it starts off and you see everybody in the back car all dirty, like, and very clearly, like, the bottom of the barrel, and then, like, you cut to, like, a bright scene, like, that classroom or the sushi bar later.
Right.
Like, and it's so interesting, too, because, like, even, like, in the movie, they don't look like they belong together. Like, that's how disparate these train cars are.
Right. Yeah.
But it makes sense. So when they're walking through an aquarium, you're like, this is really out of place, but I'm not taken out of this for a second, really.
That class of people, like the underworld, or the underground people, like it was like Gotham City, like all the horns and the... Like, what was that? I mean,
That was just like a creepy rave thing at the end of it.
Okay.
I think it was New Year's party.
Yeah.
Because it was just New Year's.
But they were okay.
Yeah.
Even during the axe fight. During the axe fight, they're in the middle of brutally murdering each other, and they stopped to celebrate New Year's.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
That was pretty awesome.
That blew my mind, because, you would think that then the, people that are leading the uprising would just go ahead and attack them.
Sure.
Instead of listening to stupid Tilda Swinton.
Right, they all stopped.
Well, I think they didn't realize what was going on. Because they've never been in a part that's probably recognized and celebrated New Year's.
Yeah, that's a good point. What about her, though, Tilda? She was very... She's not very... She had everybody kind of do her dirty work. But what was so powerful about her that she...
Nothing. It's just how, she had the megaphone.
Yeah.
Like, it was a psychological thing.
Yeah, right.
Because when they stripped away, and killed everybody, that was it. Like, she wasn't an intimidating presence. And it was just,
intimidating to just a big goober.
Yeah.
She was just a goofball.
Well,
she's
fickle. Like, she's the person, she's the wagon jumper.
Right.
And even, and in the classroom scene, when the teacher pulls out the gun, Allison Pill, who is the drummer in Scott Pilgrim, by the way.
Okay.
I did recognize her.
Yeah, because I kept thinking it was Kristen Bell when I saw it in the theater. I was like, that's not
similar,
Kristen Bell. Like, they look similar. But, Allison Pill, who's fucking great, too. After the silent Mowgli-looking dude kills her with the knife, Tilda Swinton goes for that gun and then as soon as she gets kicked out, she's right back to groveling.
Yeah,
again.
Right. Yeah.
But can we talk about how creepy that classroom?
Yes,
was?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and those kids are being fucking indoctrinated too.
Yeah,
which makes it that much creepier. Like, they've all clearly been brainwashed.
Yeah,
it's an interesting fucking
scene.
Creepy.
And then the New Year's eggs.
Yeah,
they only get eggs once a year.
Probably.
I guess so.
Well, that's what they've said about the sushi. It's only
sushi twice a year.
Right.
Well, yeah, the balance of the ecosystem, and that's so fucking weird too. Because then on a larger scale, there's the obvious implications of the class warfare going on, but then there's the idea of them playing God and trying to manage an ecosystem, but at the same time, not having hubris enough to recognize that sometimes. Outside influence doesn't take on a system, which is what happens. And even though they engineered those revolutions, and even the one with Chris Evans' character, Curtis, they still couldn't control them. They're like, yeah, yeah, it was supposed to stop in the tunnel, and it fucking didn't.
Right. Right.
And then because they just refused to acknowledge that possibility, everyone's dead except those two kids at the end of the movie.
Right.
Which, yeah, it's a bleak fucking ending.
Yeah, everybody dies. Yeah.
What?
Hey, but they see a polar bear.
Exactly, yeah. When I saw it in the theater, I loved it, but, like, I felt really fucking weird on the ending, but, like, watching it again... Okay, this is only my second viewing of this movie. But yeah, like, seeing the polar bear, like, that's the obvious implication. And that's what the security guy, the moon, or Namgoon, that's what he saw in the window earlier, I think, is what he was getting at.
Okay.
So, like, life clearly can survive now, so they don't need the train.
Right.
Right.
But, like, life had to survive the whole time for there to be a polar bear.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't be that life just doesn't survive.
That just sprouted up from nothing.
I forget. Part of the reason that I wasn't completely, like, into was because of the obvious, like, CGI with, like, the train.
Yeah.
Because, like, other movies where they have, like, frozen landscape, it looks a lot more realistic.
Yeah.
And this just was like the train part was so realistic, but the anything outside of the train just looked completely computer.
I think it was a really low budget film.
$39 million.
So.
Wow.
And I think the majority of that budget went into making sure that everything on the inside of the train looked really
right.
fucking good.
Yeah. And so I think that it just didn't
yeah.
line
and,
up.
And I definitely agree. The CG could have been better.
I think that's like part of why I didn't completely go into it too.
But like, a movie like this, if the story and everything else is good enough, I'm willing to overlook some stuff like that.
It's like Harry Potter's, like, sometimes
yep.
there's just, you know, but, you know, you really like something.
It's like, look, man,
Doctor
I don't
Who.
Care, I don't care how dumb this fucking three-headed dog looks, man. Alright? As long as fucking Maggie Smith is on point as Minerva McGonagall, you got me.
Like,
yeah, and that's how I am with this. Like, definitely the CGI, and even the bear at the end, like, it's very clearly a CGI polar bear.
Right.
See, I was stupid and did not realize this. I knew it was probably fake, but like
it looked like a Coca-Cola commercial.
It looked
yeah.
more, it looked more realistic to me than like any
the
of the other
stuff.
Scenery.
No, I agree. It's probably the best CGI that's in the movie is that bear at the
yeah.
end. And I think that's because like that because
it
ends like it's the final
end.
Shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like imagine if you were to, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like notably bad CGI. Imagine if your last shot of the movie was the three-headed dog in Harry Potter. Like,
it'd be really bad.
Yeah. Or if it was any of the CGI in The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, right.
Like, it just
yeah.
it would not look very good.
Right.
But like, touching on the ending, I just want to like, I don't know, talk about like how crazy it is that like he fights for all this stuff. And then at the end, nothing, like, we're presuming that he's dead, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
him and Nam pretty much, yeah, the ending of the story is, like, none of this mattered.
Right.
That, everyone's dead.
Was it? But
and everybody would have died anyways.
That,
right.
Well,
because
that's the thing.
Yeah.
Everyone in the tail gets murdered.
Right.
By the end of the movie.
Right.
So the only people from the tail section is him and the two kids. Because Nam and his daughter Yona were prisoners. And they're all that's left. Everybody else is the people at the front of the car, and they accepted that they might have to kill those people anyway.
Right.
And then it also, and part of it comes back to Curtis telling that story about how he was a fucking cannibal in the beginning.
Right.
And how he fucking killed Edgar's mother and almost fucking
sure.
ate Edgar. And then all the times that he wanted to like try and like sacrifice himself for the greater good so they didn't have to do shit like eat babies anymore. And then that obviously comes full circle when he sacrifices his arm to save Tommy from the fucking train engine.
I thought his name was Timmy.
Timmy,
sorry. Yes, Timmy, you're right. My bad. But
I think obviously they're making movies like social commentary, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So what is the point in the social commentary that even if you try to lead a revolution and, like, it doesn't matter in the end.
I think that's a way more cynical take than they intended.
No. If nothing matters, everyone dies.
Right, that's what I really took away.
No, because...
only two survive and a polar bear. Right.
But who knows? They're stuck in the mountains in freezing temperatures. They probably die.
Right.
Yeah.
If the engine stops, we all die. So
I mean, I guess, yeah, if you look at the phrase, if the engine stops, we all die, then you could think of it as, like, the economy.
Yeah, the engine.
Yeah.
What's the engine?
I feel like a very philosophical, like, weed-smoking college student right now. If the engine stops...
Well, I mean, I think the movie is very clearly designed to make you fucking talk about it. It's very much geared to get a response out of you.
Sure.
For me, at least, the takeaway, obviously, beyond all the fucking class shit, a lot of people died, but it wasn't for nothing, because the two kids do survive, and the reason that the train is destroyed is because Curtis is given the option to just fall in line and just perpetuate that cycle that's been going on. Or he can stop it, and he at his very great cost to himself, obviously, because he fucking sacrifices his arm, and then immediately after his own life, like that. I think that's the takeaway.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. That makes more sense than what I was saying. And then also, I guess if you look at it with that, only the two younger people survived. That maybe you might not be able to enjoy the progress you made.
Yeah.
The future generation. And then they'll freeze to death.
But then, I like it because Cabin in the Woods kind of poses the same thing with its ending, which I'm not going to get into. But basically, like, the idea at the end is that maybe the way things are doesn't work. And even if it means fucking no one gets out, maybe we're better for it.
Yeah.
And that's also... And again, that's a more cynical reading, but it's also one that I kind of agree with a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because, like, if the order of the day is for people to survive, like, some people have to suffer while these fucking people get to fucking drink wine and have hot tubs and stuff,
right.
Like, there's no rhyme or reason to that. Instead of meeting at a middle ground saying, everybody can live comfortably, they say, we have to live lavishly while these people have to suffer.
Right.
Like, because so much of that stuff in the front, they don't fucking need.
Yeah, like
right.
The pool.
Yeah, the pool.
That's not really
the
a pool.
Fucking bathhouse. The fucking
the
sushi.
Right.
Yeah, a goddamn tailor.
Right.
A goddamn dentist.
Or the hair.
Yeah.
Like a fucking shop.
Yeah.
So like all
or the rave.
You definitely do.
Okay, keep the rave.
So like all these excess trappings, and like instead of just being like, oh, we can just all eat, like, discount chicken.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, you guys have to eat fucking bug jello, and we get to eat
bug
steaks.
Jello.
Also, like, the cornhole?
Yeah. Oh, the drug.
Yeah.
Oh, Cronol.
I
was like, what's cornhole got to do with this?
Well, they playing cornhole? Did I miss a car in that train?
There was a friend.
It was a friend. Just dudes with this shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're in Ohio.
No, you're fine.
So, cornhole bang.
I mean, I don't really need the drug either, but it is kind of, I don't know. Now I'm analyzing it too much. Like, it's kind of interesting that, like, the thing that the upper class uses to get high with, that then the lower class used ultimately against them. I just need to go think about life for a while.
But no, that's a good analogy. And I like that too, because the first time I was watching this, the reveal at the end that he wasn't doing it, he was fucking building a bomb.
Yeah.
A very literal escape as opposed to like the ideal, like the metaphysical kind of escape.
Right.
No, and it's a great fucking twist. And I love, too, because you have that really great scene where you learn everything about Curtis's character after he talks about how it was in the beginning. And then, like, it all kind of comes flooding back, too, with Nam. And you find out all the stuff. Like, he's clearly had a fucking plan the whole time, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, he's just a fucking doped-up guy, like, who knows the security system. It's like, no, this guy is very clearly, like, he's got his shit together. And then, like, I like the implications, too, like, with the Revolt of the Seven, where it's very clearly implied that the Eskimo woman was probably Yona's mother.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got that too. Yeah.
And I thought that was really great. Yeah. Well, it just like the way he talked, and then too when you see that first shot of them outside, first thing you see is Yona with like that hood pulled up,
yeah.
And then she drops it down and like kind of it has a very similar like look to it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. And then, of course, like seeing the polar bear and everything just ties even more into it.
The big engine reveal. The plan with Wilfred and William.
Mm-hmm. Gilliam.
Or Gilliam.
Gilliam and Wilfred.
That blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of had an inkling for some reason.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know what it was. I think... I don't even remember what he said. It was just kind of like he knew him, and it seemed like he had met him. He had been...
When he told Mason to pass that message on for him?
Yeah. That just kind of was like...
You kind of get it, but like it definitely... Yeah, it's a fucking mind-blowing reveal. And then especially too, like, when you find out that Gilliam was killed because the plan didn't go according to plan.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and then, like, you almost buy that Ed Harris is remorseful about it, but then you're like, no, fuck you.
Right.
What bothered me with those red letters,
uh-huh.
like, how he found them every single time. Like,
oh, yeah.
So how, but that was obviously planned, so, but how, you know, how, in the beginning when it was with that nasty, whatever.
With the protein bars.
Yeah. But he located it with Timmy in Timmy's bar. But how did he do that? How did he zero in on that? Kind of bothered me.
Well, I mean, I think he probably like got one somehow by accident, and then probably was blabbing his big mouth and telling the other people to like be on the lookout for these clues. And
yeah,
okay. Yeah,
they'd
so
clearly
it was
been
plan.
They'd been planning the revolution for
right.
a while. Clearly,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had 17 years to stew on it, or 18.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I like, too, is, like, clearly there's a lot of backstory that goes into this, but, like, they lay it out very quickly, the whole CW37 thing over the opening titles with, like, the broadcaster.
It's very blunt. It's only two sentences.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
The world froze, everyone's dead.
Well, no, yeah. Because right before that, you hear, like, the transmission first.
Yeah.
Which is just talking about, like, and that's what those planes are in the beginning. They're releasing the CW-37 into the atmosphere.
Okay.
Right.
And then you get those two title cards right as we see the train for the first time.
Right.
And then they get right fucking into it. And I love that, too, because like, I feel like if this were, like, a major, like, mainstream-type, like, big-budget release, it would have been, like, half an hour of setting that stuff. It would have been, like, a fucking Roland Emmerich movie.
Sure.
Where it's like, hey, we gotta spend 40 minutes telling you that aliens are gonna blow up the White House.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can just start with aliens blowing up the White House.
Right.
We don't need to know that Jeff Goldblum's marriage failed.
We're good.
We don't need to know that John Cusack is a limo driver or whatever.
Right.
We can just get to all the heavy shit right out the gate.
This movie is pretty long, too, already.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was a good decision that they got into it as quick as they did. And that's the thing I love, too, is like, and again, like with movies like that, they tend to assume that the audience is fucking dumb and has to be spoon-fed every day.
Right.
And I like that Snowpiercer gives you a lot of credit, like...
Sure.
And it doesn't... Like, and a lot of things do get revealed eventually, but they get revealed at a time that's, like, appropriate. Like, instead of finding out right out the gate, it's like, oh, hey, Chris Evans almost ate Edgar when he was a fucking baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they save that, and it fucking... It's so much more of, a powerful moment, too, because you've watched, like, him throughout the entire thing, and then... You've seen him have to make that choice between, like, pushing on, like, the revolt or fucking letting his friend die.
Right.
Yeah, even saving Edgar.
Yeah, and it's... Oh, God. Like, that's rough, too. And you get glimmers of it throughout. Because, like, Curtis keeps telling him, he's like, I'm not who you think I am, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm not a leader. I'm not a hero. Like, he knows that he's done terrible things. And he can't reconcile with that. And then... Like when he fucking runs up to Tilda Swinton after she said, like, very sarcastic, like, oh, I'm sorry about your second in command. He's like, you can fucking die. Like, that's, like, oh, God, he's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that is revealed, I think, is revealed at the absolute best time it could be. Like, everything, every scene benefits the scene after it. Like, everything advances. I don't feel like there's really anything extraneous in here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it is a long movie, but... I think it benefits from every fucking frame and every fucking minute of it. Like, I don't think there's anything that could be cut that would make this a better film.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It was great. I enjoyed it way more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
But, man, that was...
It definitely, yeah, when I went and saw it, I went in blind, and I figured I was going to like it because the fucking poster art for it looked cool. Chris Evans was in, so it was
right.
Like, I'm on board.
Sure.
And then I walked out, I was like, this is my favorite movie of the year. Like, this is one of the best things I've seen all year. It's so good.
Yeah.
It was a lot darker than
yeah,
I thought it was.
Very dark.
Yeah. And, you know, knowing it's a graphic novel by a French...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's, you know, usually dark and artistic go together with French
yeah.
artists, but, I mean, it was a lot darker and, just pretty... brutal.
Oh, very brutal. Yeah,
I like it too that there's like a couple hundred people left on the earth and they just murder each other.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just fuck this.
Usually sci-fi. I mean, you
but
know.
But that's the thing. I mean, you look at anything like this. Like, you even look, you look at like The Walking Dead or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A show where it's like, oh, there's only a fraction of humanity left.
Right.
And
just
then,
murder each other.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we're the problem. We're the threat. Like,
right.
And in every like zombie movie, like in fucking Mad Max, like every post-apocalyptic type setting, it's very rarely, yeah. It's hardly ever, it's like, oh, the monster's like, no, we're the monsters.
Right.
Yeah.
Kill or be killed.
Yeah, and this movie plays very much into that, and the tragic fucking nature is that's exactly what it would probably boil down to.
Right.
And it's a fucking bummer, but it's also highly effective because of that.
Right.
Like, if this was just them, I don't know, fighting snow monsters or whatever, yeah, it'd probably still be pretty fun, but like... it would not have near the fucking impact as watching like them just wage war on each other, because that's what would happen.
Yeah.
Because we're just fucked. We're just a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah.
Bill Hicks said it best, I think, we're a virus with shoes.
I like what Tilda said, which is a size 10 with chaos.
Yeah.
I forgot about the man in his arm.
Oh, you and Brenner,
oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
that was rough.
Everything is so fucking brutal in this movie.
It is.
But it was funny.
But it's not as gory, too. They could have, like, really...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of, like...
The sound effects, though.
Yeah, the sound is brutal.
Yeah.
But, like, they cut away. Like, before they take the hammer to his arm, like, it cuts away.
Yep.
Right away. Like, they could show that in,
oh, yeah.
in high detail, and
yeah.
it would be much more brutal. Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy when he got his brief revenge, where they were like carrying Tilda around like
yeah.
a little pet, and then he just puts a shoe on top of it.
Yeah,
that was
awesome.
And
it was a bummer when his character got killed.
Yeah.
Because that's a great actor too.
What else is, you know who he's?
Ewan Bremner. He's been he was in Trainspotting.
Oh, okay.
He was a sick boy, I believe. He was in Snatch. He mainly plays like those kind of smaller parts in everything.
The put upon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, oh, let's see. Okay, so when this actually got released in the U.S., I wanted to touch on this. 20 minutes of footage they were pushing for it to be cut, and they wanted to do more titles at the end of the beginning to clarify it, and Bong refused to.
Yeah.
So that's why it didn't get a... Because it was released internationally last year.
Oh.
And it didn't see a U.S. release until, like, this summer.
Okay. I wonder how, with Chris Evans, how
yeah.
Captain America and this came out, like...
Yeah,
at the
like
same
within
time.
A couple of months of each other
yeah.
here. Yeah, yeah. Chris Evans did this, I want to say, between Avengers and the last Captain America.
Okay.
So, oh, and according to this, it's on Netflix now. So,
wow. Okay.
There you go. It's on Netflix streaming. But, yeah, I'm glad that Bong hardlined, because it would have been, like, the whole Blade Runner thing over again with Harrison Ford being forced to do the voiceover and just, like, no,
yeah.
just, people aren't dumb. Like,
right.
just give us the benefit of the doubt. Like, we're going to see an art house movie.
Right.
Yeah.
We're already on board, man.
That's a good point.
Cool. Anything else you guys want to hit on before we wrap it up? All right, let's...
we touched on everything.
Cool. Let's do favorite moments. Start with Lauren.
This is completely stupid, but I really loved when they were making Tilda Swinton gravel, and then she takes out her teeth.
Yeah. I figured that would be it. That character character works because she makes such bizarre choices. Right?
She does.
And that's the thing, though. It does, like, I feel like it never takes you out of the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Like, every lunatic,
this is happening.
Every lunatic thing she does, you're just like, no, I buy this. Cool,
yeah.
Noelia?
That's, yeah, Tilda Swinton. She's just crazy, and she's
Mr.
really...
Mason?
I don't have any specifics, yeah, but just her facial expressions and those,
yeah,
the teeth, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like, what is she? What is she? But she's funny, and it kind of makes it... It doesn't take away from it, but it kind of lets you have a little levity.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
So
in a
heavy
movie that does not have much of it.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, so
certainly.
I like that.
Tom?
I like when Chris Evans breaks down.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
And then just that line, it's like, you know what I really hate about myself? I know what people taste like.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate even more that I know babies taste bad.
Yes.
Oh,
man.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's, for me, it's, I kind of have a three-way tie. It's the axe fight.
Yeah, that's great.
Because that's a fucking amazing action sequence. And then that moment with Chris Evans and fucking Nam at the end when he's explaining how it was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the entire exchange between Curtis and Wilford at the end. Especially, like, because he gets in, like, those lines where he's like, oh, everybody has their preordained place. Like, that's what the people who have it best always say to the people in the
right.
Yeah. And it is.
That's a good line,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's, and he has so, like, that scene is just great. And it really does portray how fucking clueless, like, people in a place of privilege are.
Right.
As far as, like, regarding people that are oppressed. He's like, oh, you think I've got it bad up here? The engine's noisy.
Yeah. It's lonely. Hello.
Yeah. I was like, fuck you, are you kidding me? And that's the thing, though. Like, that's the kind of shit that, like, people who... It's like the people who you reveal that, like, you've lost a loved one. And they're like, and this actually happened to me once, like, a roommate did this after my dad passed away. And he's like, oh, I know what you're going through. My uncle had, like, a quadruple bypass surgery once. I was like, that's not the same at all. One of those two people is still alive, and it's not my dad. So, like, but that's the rationale these people use. Like, instead of saying, like, that is, like, that's
yeah.
shitty that you're in that position, they have to fucking make
right.
it about them.
Right.
And, like,
right.
try to convince you that...
Right.
That fucking people.
Oh, they have it tough too. Like,
yeah. Oh, rich people got it so hard.
Right.
That shit's like, oh man, I gotta pay a mortgage. I gotta pay taxes. I wish I made enough that I had to pay taxes. It's like, oh darn, you take, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks and I actually get to make more than $18,000 a year for once in my life? I'll take that.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, I think this is a good place to wrap it up then. Thank you guys so much for coming on. And sitting through one of my just absolute favorite movies.
It's great.
It's been a blast, and I'm happy that I could share it all with you guys. I think that'll do it. Snowpiercer, check it out. We'll catch all you guys next time. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.